You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Happy Saturday morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us today on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and it's a big show today. Coming up in a half an hour, we're going to hear from the national champion head coach of UW River Falls, Matt Walker. Later in the show, we'll talk about the Wisconsin Badgers. The transfer portal has been busy this week for Wisconsin. Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer will break all of that down with us. For the first half hour of the show, we're going to talk all things Wisconsin sports. And there's a lot to get to this week, so we bring in our full panel and full roundtable. We will start by going to Madison and Parker Olson. Parker, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. You know, just feeling good. We're in the swing of winter, and I am a winter man, my friends.
Conrad, welcome aboard.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, I just got to say, go Pack, go.
We bring in upper management and Gray Gutterson in Park Falls. Gray, what's going on?
Developing a reputation, I see. Well, appropriately to the title, my heart has been growing sizes each day, or actually shrinking is what I meant to say. Mostly to do with the cold, but it might be the new title.
It is Make the Call, and in our first segment, it is our top 7 at 7. So what we do is we take our top 7 sports or not sports stories of the week, and we talk about it. And we're going to start with number 7 this week, and this is the question that everybody in Wisconsin needs to ask. Why the hell are NFL games on streaming services only? Playoff game on Prime? Are you kidding me? What are we doing here? Parker, tell me, why are we streaming NFL playoff games only and not putting them over the air?
Why, Jimmy? Because money, that's why. I would also like to tell you that the NFL does not care about you. They care about your dollars.
Yeah, the phrasing I heard once was, I've heard it said about several different people and groups, they would trade you for a dollar if they were thirsty and standing next to a vending machine. That's the NFL. That's the NFL right there. Just like, yeah, I will absolutely squeeze you a bit. But yeah, the big green elephant in the room is exactly what you think.
We'll say this. You can get the game for free over the radio. Don't even have to worry about a subscription service on the radio on 5 different stations around Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula. Number 6 in our top 7 at 7. It is transfer portal season, and it feels like this week all we've done is see name after name end up at Wisconsin. So are we still feeling the doom and gloom after the signing day for high schoolers? I'm curious about your guys' thoughts.
You know, I said this, in prior shows, you know, the reason they didn't want to do this buyout is because they wanted to spend more money on players. And so far, I'm like, hey, I'm happy about it. They're getting some players. They got a new quarterback. I'm really happy about that. They had some players stay too, which is, I was surprised. I was surprised that some players stayed because, well, how the season went. But I'm excited. I'm always excited for Badger football, even if they're bad. But I'm just excited to see what we can do this year.
I think that the Badgers are finding they're falling into their new rotation. You know, it's kind of that circle of I get really excited, we do really badly, and I break my heart, and then I get really excited. This is the time of year, my friends, where we go, oh, hey, we're getting a bunch of guys. These guys might actually help us out a bunch. Oh, no. That's, I think, where we're at.
Browns fans and Jets fans still exist. That alone is evidence of the fact that it's just going to keep happening. Even if you eat at the depth of your despair at the worst point of the season, you'll be back. You will be back. We will be back. We love the game. My big question is, as with many people, I think most of us probably, what does NIL money look like for a slightly smaller market team? And we just straight up don't know. We're so early in that process yet. A question that's occurred to me recently, I was listening to Troy Aikman talking about he donated money to his alma mater, USC, for the sake of one particular player coming there. That player did end up showing up there. And I thought, you know, that sounds kind of obvious. Your alumni, a fantastic source of the donations that would become NIL money. Who have the Badgers got? It's actually a pretty healthy roster. I mean, look no further than current NFL players like Andrew Van Ginkle. Like, hey, Andrew, your alma mater's coming calling. You get 2 letters a year now. Congratulations. We're really going to ask you for donations. So I'm excited about it. No matter what happens, I want to see what this grows into because it's growing. Just hope it's more growth than mutation.
Number 5 in our top 7 at 7. I got to ask this after watching the debacle last week.
who's left for the Packers at this point? The injury list has been the size of a CVS receipt. I don't even know who they've got left. Who's playing quarterback this week, Gray? What's going on? The Packers seem really, really injured.
You know, surprisingly, the answer is more players are available than have been for over a month now. We were talking before the show. The actual figure is 17.2. If you look at the last 5 weeks of the season, there were at least 17 players on the injury report every week except for one. And so we've been trending in the right direction. There are two key players on that injury report that really worry me. And the fact that it's only two, I'm so thankful right now. But there are two that worry me. It's Zach Tom, who was surprised to hear that he was expected to play. I was talking to Mike Clemens just yesterday, and he mentioned to Zach Tom, hey, LaFleur said you're playing. And apparently Zach Tom looked him like a deer in the headlights. That's not good. The other one is Javon Bullard. He's been on the injury report every day this week with a knee injury, limited, so he did participate, but that's a name that you don't hear as often as he's contributing. He's been all over the field. Part of it's, I think, that he's a little undersized, but there's more there than you think.
Number four in our top seven, I said, by the way, 17.2, that one-fifth of a player really makes a difference for the Packers, by the way. Number four in our top seven at seven. Did you watch UW River Falls win the national title in college football? Or listen on WSCM, as it were. That's how I took in the championship game. Parker, I know you've got thoughts on this.
Oh, you know I was watching this, Jimmy. Come on. I mean, we said at the beginning of the year, it was either going to be this year for River Falls or it was never going to happen for them. And it was their year. They won the national title. They had the best player in the nation. I was very excited about it.
Number three in our top seven at seven. And this is a Packers question because this time of year, we're seeing coaches get fired, front office changes. And it certainly seems like change is coming for the Packers as their defensive coordinator is up for head coaching gigs. Now, just looking at what's coming for the Packers, what do you expect to change? Conrad, I'll start with you.
I mean, yeah, Jeff Hafley, I don't expect him to be on the Packers next year. He's a great coach, and he definitely can be a head coach. I'm going to be sad for sure, but I mean, he deserves a head coaching job. He's a great coach.
Thank goodness that he left the team better than he found it. The job is attractive for whoever might be looking at it.
That brings us to number two in our top seven at seven, and it's as the Giannis turns. Giannis Antetokounmpo with more comments on his future, this time in a piece with The Athletic. It just seems like no matter what angle we hear on this, that there is something different about this year with Giannis. I maintain that regardless of what he says or what anybody is saying, I know that there's some people pushing him to go, some people pushing him to stay. It just feels different this year. Is this the last we've heard of this story this season?
I mean, I'm hoping because, I mean, we're going to hear it next year. We're going to hear it the year after that. You know, he wants to leave. And what? No, he doesn't. He has that Steph Curry loyalty. He wants to stay here. He wants to build the franchise back to the championship team that they had in 2022. I mean, they have the pieces. They need a couple more, maybe some draft stock, but Giannis ain't leaving. He's going to stay a Buck, and I think he's going to stay a Buck for the rest of his career.
But have we heard the end of it for this season? I really don't think so, let's be honest. No matter what he says, what the Bucks organization does to show how much they want him here and are committed to keeping him here and himself staying here, national media, they're still going to go, oh, Giannis breathed too much in New York when he was there. They think that he likes the New York air. He's going to New York. That's what it's going to be like, I think. At least one more time.
And that'll bring us to our number one in our top seven at seven. And this will be our Packers and Bears playoff predictions. We'll talk about that, though, coming up after we get this update from Mike Clemens covering all things sports in Wisconsin. Don't forget, coming up later in the show, Matt Walker, UW River Falls head football coach, will be joining us. And we'll hear from Jake Kokorowski on the Badgers transfer portal. But right now, we step aside. Mike Clemens brings you an update on sports here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
The Bucks win in L.A. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks with a 105-101 win over the Lakers. Giannis with two nifty block shots in the final minute, including a steal from LeBron James, preventing a basket in the final second. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, it's why he's Giannis, really. I mean, he's got the ability to go to another level. That block at the rim was Really, that's it.
The Bucks have now won two of their last three games on this West Coast trip. They head to Denver today to play the Nuggets, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, with their toughest opponent yet, they're in Ann Arbor this morning, getting ready to take on Michigan today at noon. The Wolverines rank number 2 in the nation behind number 1 Arizona. Greg Gard's advice to his team for today's matchup.
And you can't let a negative play on one end counter or affect you on the other end.
Wisconsin is 10-5, Michigan undefeated at 14-0. NFL, the Green Bay Packers vice president of personnel, John Eric Sullivan, leaving the team after nearly 23 years to become the new general manager of the Miami Dolphins.
It was a very, very grateful for the opportunity to interview, and grateful to the organizations that sat down and spoke with me. Very blessed where I come to work. I can't say enough about the people that I work with and have worked with over years, and you know what they mean to me. And
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
John Eric's a huge part of our process. Certainly someone that I've worked with for a very long time and lean on for a lot of things. He's absolutely 100% ready to run his own show. And I want to see all these guys on our staff get these kind of opportunities. I think we have a lot of guys that are ready right now and a lot of guys that are going to be ready. That's something, you know, as a guy who's been here and watched John Schneider, Reggie McKinnon, John Dorsey, Scott McLuhan get their opportunities. Not only John Eric, but a bunch of guys will be as we move forward here.
Meanwhile, the Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley's name, circulating as a possible candidate to become a head coach in the NFL, and was asked, what has the past 2 years been like for him in Green Bay?
I love being part of the Green Bay Packers, and I never take that for granted every day when I drive in, and I get to see Lambeau Field, honestly. I mean, I'm a guy who started coaching Division III football and worked my way up to be a college head coach, and now I'm part of the greatest NFL organization that there is, getting a call to plays. So that is so humbling to me. I love the defensive players that we coach. Like, I love these guys, and I love the staff, and I love working for Matt. And I never take that for granted, not one second, which is why when I answer that question, I don't think it'd be fair to anybody in here, anybody a part of this, for me not to give everything I have for this game. Would one day I like to be a head coach again? Absolutely, for sure. But, like, just even answering this question for you right now, I just am so grateful and so happy to be here and be part of this. And I've just loved coming to work every single day here. Like, even joking with you guys, like, I know sometimes it's hard and you ask hard questions, but you guys have been incredible. And I mean that. And it's not like that everywhere. So I thank you guys for that. Everything that I have been a part of here, from Goody to Ed to Matt, it's just been like, what a blessing to be here for me and my family. We are not going to be done, so I will see you guys next week.
So tonight, it's the Packers and the Bears meeting for only the third time in 100-plus years of the NFL in the playoffs. The Bears beat the Packers in 1941 for the Western Division title. Then in 2011, the Packers beat the Bears in Chicago for the NFC Conference title to move on to win Super Bowl 45. Now, the Bears put on a real show 2 weeks ago, a 42-38 shootout that they lost to the 49ers. But the Bears beat the Packers in overtime last month thanks to a touchdown pass by Chicago quarterback Caleb Williams to DJ Moore, who got past the Packers defensive back Keyshawn Nixon. I asked Matt LaFleur if Nixon is ready to return to Soldier Field.
Especially in this league, at that position, you better have a short memory, because there's going to be times when you're going to get beat. That's just the name of the game. You got to be able to play the next play, and that's what I expect out of him.
When you watch that Bears 49ers game, the tape of that game, was that a breakdown in defenses, or are those two offenses performing it up?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it either way you want to. I think both quarterbacks played outstanding football. That game was a back and forth, and there was some great execution. And I always tell our team this, or people in general, like, especially in the pass game, if somebody makes a throw, sometimes there's no defense for the perfect throw. And there were a lot of those in that game.
But that, does that also show where Caleb's development is at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's obviously a very talented quarterback, and there's always a learning curve for all these guys when they come into the league, and I think he's kind of hitting his stride right now, so it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Kickoff tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll have coverage from Chicago with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call here on Civic Media, as you heard the big voiceover guys say. And We are going to finish up our top 7 at 7 with our number one story this week. And the number one thing on anybody's mind is, are the Packers going to win tonight? The Packers and Bears play in the postseason. Game is on Prime tonight. It's also on a bunch of Civic Media stations around Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula. So plenty of ways for you to take in this one, whether it's streaming via an app or listening on the radio. I'm going to turn it over to you guys, though. I'm curious about your thoughts on tonight's matchup. Packers-Bears, let's go. We'll start it off here with Gray.
I'll admit I'm in scary shape headed into this one. I don't want to consider myself a fair weather fan, and I understand why some people might, but man, we're the third team in like 40 years to go into the playoffs on a 4 losing streak. Just recently, it was the Steelers who did it last year. But before that, it was like the 99 Lions and the 86 Jets, like these real hotties you want to be compared to. And I thought that's not great. I talked yesterday with Civic Media's sports reporter, Mike Clemens. You may have caught him in the background of Trayvon Diggs' initial press conference when he got to town. You know, he's right there. He's there for everything. And so I asked Mike, I was like, hey, what's the mood right now? And he said, it's not great. It's not super confident going into this third matchup with the Bears. That's my big question. Things get weird when you play a team a third time. If you got swept going into that third matchup, the underdog has the favorite, but we're 1-1 now, pieces missing. Parker, what is your, specifically through the lens of third game, what third game outcome are you expecting here? I don't know what to expect.
I'm expecting the Packers to go, I don't want to say conservative, but they're going to care for the football a lot more. I think that obviously we all know that the Bears are, I think they lead the league in interceptions. They just generate a ton of turnovers. That's going to be an absolutely huge key to the game. And frankly, that scares me because I have said on this show before, I'm a big advocate for letting Jordan Love loose. I think he's at his best when he just lets it rip. And I think that Matt LaFleur kind of overmanages him sometimes. And that limits him. But when you let him loose, you might be a little bit more prone to those interceptions. So it's a tough kind of two-headed monster of, do you go for the most productive version of the Green Bay offense, or do you go for, I can't let this Bears defense throw a wrench in what we're doing? Conrad, are there any keys to that Packer offense as they try to, let's be honest too, they need to score in the red zone. That is absolutely huge. Conrad, what do you think that they can do to have success against this really tough Bears defense?
I mean, you kind of nailed it with LaFleur just kind of, I don't know. I think Jordan Love, when he's able to throw and not playing, you know, conservative, I think he's a great quarterback. I think he can let it loose and have some really good throws. But when it's LaFleur saying, maybe we play more conservative, Josh Jacobs, if this is how the game is played, is a huge part in this game. And he needs to get going because last time we played, you didn't really see him that much, but I think it's because of injury. I think he's healthier now, so maybe we'll see more of him. Manuel Wilson, too. I mean, he played well against them last time. So I think those two running backs could potentially have a great game because I don't think the Bears have the best rush defense. But also, yeah, scoring in the red zone is huge. And Josh Jacobs, we have him for a reason. Pound the football down the middle. You know, first and goal, give the ball to him two times. If we're not in there yet, maybe an RPO or something. But I think the key to this game is not playing conservative. I really, truly think that if we let Jordan Love go, we could potentially maybe win by a couple scores.
It's a conversation, I think, that becomes more and more relevant as LaFleur's career specifically continues, the conservative versus aggressive approach. And we've seen it a couple times, specifically in the second Lions game this season. He had a go-for-it mentality in that game. People were talking for a couple weeks, chirping a little bit like, hey, we need to see a less conservative version of Matt LaFleur. And we saw it, I think. We absolutely saw it. I also think that it stands out that we've all ended up focusing on the offense when the defense has struggled just as much, if not more. You know, we've had Javon Bullard on the injury report. We've had pieces missing there too. Thankfully, it looks like all the linebackers are going to be good to go. Huge shocker for me last week, guys. Trevon Diggs, the top rated player on the entire team. I didn't believe. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem, it's me. Like, I did not think he was going to come in and do that. I was sad that we had to call in somebody who was allowing so many passes. Do you think it says something that he showed so well, or is that just kind of the dead cat bounce, as they call it? Parker, I see you scratching the beard over there. What are you thinking?
I'm scratching the beard because I just don't know.
I'm with you.
If I remember correctly, he had a fairly small sample size in recent years. And frankly, I'm not the greatest at evaluating talent on defense. I will very, very quick to admit that, but I just don't know what he's got. I am very hopeful that he can keep up what we saw right there. But I think after what we saw against, Vikings, after we saw against the Vikings, maybe he does have something. Maybe we do have that version of him that there actually was pretty earlier on in his career when he went, oh, that might be somebody. But also in that, it was against who? Because no one was really playing for, were the Vikings actually going as
the Vikings had starters in?
Did they?
It was Addison and Jefferson in some cases, but I don't think it was those guys against Diggs very often. Jimmy, what are you thinking here as we go into this weekend?
I'm going to ask you guys for your predictions since we're running out of time in this segment. Packers and Bears in the playoffs tonight. Bears certainly enter. Everybody's got that. Everybody's riding high on them, but I feel like they're going to have a chip on their shoulders being an underdog in this game. According to all the betting lines, I feel like that's going to give them a little bit of an edge. So I actually think the Bears win tonight. I'm curious about what you guys think.
I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm afraid, and I'm with you. 21-20, though. Close one. Nail biter.
I've got the Bears, and that makes me worried because there is a bet going on in our morning show, and I might have to sing Bear Down Chicago Bears.
Guys,
at least
come on.
The Super Bowl shuffle.
Guys, hey, come on. We got to cheer for the Packers here, all right? What are we doing, you know? I'm going Packers, and I'm going by two scores just because I want to see that happen.
There we go. We have an optimist in the midst, which is a good thing on a sports show.
Need one.
All right, Conrad, Gray, Parker, thank you for your time on the roundtable today. Appreciate all of your insights as we move along here on Make the Call. Coming up next, we'll hear from national champion head football coach from UW River Falls, Matt Walker. Later in the program, Jake Kokorowski, a Badger Observer, recaps this first week in the transfer portal for the football program. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and I'm joined right now by the national champion head coach at UW River Falls, Matt Walker. And Coach Walker, now that I get to say that in front of your name, I know you were speechless in the TV interview of the game on Sunday, but now that you've had a couple of days to reflect, how good does it feel right now to be the national champion in football?
It still feels a little strange to hear those words in front of your name. I'm not going to lie. It still feels a little bit like a dream. It's funny. I woke up today and I had some texts from buddies and it was, hey, it's not a dream. You actually did that yesterday. But yeah, just flooded with so much emotion. It's funny. Like the every branch of my life, like kind of culminated there. I had high school buddies. I had my family, obviously extended. Everybody's there. You got former players. You got alums that played before you were there. You got current families, all my college buddies. How Brad Stevens is there, my college buddies. You have all these branches of your life all in one spot. It just felt so cool kind of being the reason all these, on top of obviously the game and winning the national championship, like when a chance to breathe and take a look and focus and think about some of the cooler things beyond just the game. It's like, here's every branch of my life, at least one member of each branch and chapter of my life here celebrating the same thing is incredible.
Coach Walker, I first of all, I don't know if anybody warned you, the national championship trophy is very, very heavy. I've gotten to hold a few of those. I didn't like getting in trouble with that, bringing that around. But when you got to bring it back to River Falls and the reception, what was that moment like when you come back to town and you've got fourth graders out there cheering for you on the street in River Falls when you come back? What was that like for you?
How about this? So we pick up our police escort at the exit. The police escorts Nick Jacobson, who was the defensive player of the year in the league, who played for me at River Falls in 2014. He's the one escorting us in as a local police officer. And then, yeah, everybody down, it's another example of what was happening at that moment is still the thing that you can't put into words when you're trying to explain to people the beauty of River Falls. It's like, I was thinking that, I'm like, boy, when I say here's the charm of River Falls and I can't put it into words, we were doing it as I'm thinking that, driving down Main Street, everybody from every business is coming out. The kids from my kids' elementary school running out to cheer us on. Everybody, I know 90% of the people, even in the cars that didn't plan it, that are just pulling over for the escort, I know 90% of them. And it was surreal. And then how about this one? We get back to the Falcon Center and have another group waiting for us beyond just the Main Street group. And women's hockey, back-to-back national champions, are practicing in the middle of their practice. And we take the team and the trophy and we interrupt practice. Here's the two-time reigning national champs getting greeted. We go in and interrupt their practice to basically get greeted by the champs for the champs. Amazing stuff.
Coach Walker, the head coach at River Falls, winning the national championship in football this year for the first time ever. There's been a lot of narratives and a lot of things said about River Falls and all the work for you as a coach and for your program to get to where you were able to get to this week. But I like to go back. I've covered your program for a long time as a broadcaster in the WIAC at various schools, getting to broadcast the two Isthmus Bowl championships. I kept making jokes on Twitter that those two trophies are about to have some company in the trophy case. But just for you, you talked about just the moment, but I know I asked this in previous interviews with you, but just the work you did at the start and having the university and the community stick with you through that, what does that mean to you just as a person, just, you know, being involved in that for so long through some years where it was kind of lean and being able to break through the last 5 or 6 years to have the success?
Humbling, blessed, a lot of words I could use there for what it means to me to have so many people stick by my side. I think what happened is, the people that were at the ground level with me could see that we were doing it the right way. Again, even when results were not happening on the scoreboard, I think they could feel that this was right and could happen one day. I think they understood what my vision was. You know, it's kind of been in phases. I've used this in some other interviews. I said, when I first got here, we didn't even look like a college football team. 40-some kids, you covered the league. We didn't look like the rest of the league. That was goal one. We had to take that step and look like a WIAC team. We didn't. Then we had to get, then we did. Then we had to get competitive was the next step. We weren't competitive. You know, we'd won just a few games within the league. Then we got competitive. We were beating some teams in the bottom of the league. Then, you know, I think you mentioned the bowl games. I probably don't talk enough about how important those are in this run. Like that, those were major confirmations that we actually were doing it. They were kind of the springboard that really juiced this thing up. Cause really since that COVID time and that 21 year, we won the first bowl, not only were we competitive, but then we were able to see the next phase of winning this league as actual reality. We'd closed that gap when we went to the bowl game. And then it's just strange, like phase 4, 5, 6, 7 all basically happened in the same season. You win the league, you win a playoff game, you become competitive in a playoff stretch, and you win the whole damn thing all in the same year. We skipped about three of the phases that I thought it would take.
Well, once you're there, you might as well win it all, right?
So might as well.
Coach Matt Walker from UW River Falls, national champions in football this year. I want to get a question in about Caleb Blaha, because winning the player of the year in Division III is a massive honor and great recognition for just his development. It's amazing to think that this was a receiver at a Division II school before coming to River Falls and becoming the top player in all of Division III, setting the NCAA record for all-purpose yardage. There's a lot of great things you can say about him, but I got to see him at the start in that second Isthmus Bowl all the way to the finish now in the national championship game. What is his presence and what has he meant to your program?
It's funny, as much as we're together, you know, I coached the quarterbacks and like it was just mass chaos after the game up until even getting back. Like just you can imagine, I did not go to bed, literally didn't even attempt to lay down to go to bed. Not only did I not get sleep, I didn't attempt to go to bed from the end of the game until getting back. And in all that time, again, if there's a moment I'm interviewing and he's interviewing, it was hard to be around each other other than win the game. So I really hadn't had a chance to talk to Caleb. And here's the guy I work with the most on the football team and really hadn't seen him since the game. And I texted him today And one of the things I told him in that text, I said, you know, everybody gets to see all the great plays you make and all the things on the field that you do that make you different. But I said, what makes you the most unique are the things that people don't get to see except for me. And I really believe that he's the greatest teammate that you can imagine in a way where he doesn't ever raise his voice and in so few words is an incredible leader in his own unique way. His competitiveness, his genuine humbleness, all these things that make him more special than these unique plays that nobody else can make either. I can't, you know, it's funny. I rarely get unfocused during a game. You've seen me at my, what's the word?
Intense.
Most raging competitiveness. You know, I joke, I have a normalness to me, but I'm a crazy psycho competitor. I'm calm normally. But anyway, I rarely get out of focus when it's in the flow of a game. But when they put up on the big screen during the ESPN game, here's on the big screen at the stadium, the coverage of the game, and here's a split screen of him and Joe Burrow breaking that record. Even I took 10 seconds and kind of stepped away from the game for a second, just in awe of, here's a dude just broke Joe Burrow's record. I mean, we got a call from the Hall of Fame today. They want his jersey to put display in the Hall of Fame. I learned that if you play a game on the Hall of Fame stadium, you're eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. So they're taking his jersey. Unbelievable.
That's such a crazy story. Coach Matt Walker, I want to give you one last question here before we wrap up the segment. It's always great to get a chance to talk to you. I know that you've got a busy offseason. You're already hitting the trail with coaching clinics and getting ready for a round of recruiting and all the usual offseason things. But I just wanted to give you a chance here at the end. I know that this is a dream season, right? You get to win it all. You accomplish all your goals and everything like that. For you as a coach, I mean, you know, what's next for you? I mean, now that you've gotten this big achievement, you know, what comes after, you know, all the usual offseason things? Has anything changed for you?
I'd like to tell you no. I guess, you know, I could be just lie and be like, oh, it's back to work tomorrow and blah, blah. I'm still on a little bit of a high. That'd just be totally lying. You know, it's funny. We were all sitting around last night in the office after we got back. We took this deep breath. We're like, what the hell do we do now? You know, obviously we got to get to recruiting and got to get a lifting program going again and all these things. But yeah, I think there's going to be some narratives that motivate this football team. It's like, how many times and how sick is this team going to get of hearing, well, now what do you do without Caleb Blaha engaged in? Like, good luck. Like, we're going to hear that narrative so much. What nobody wants to hear that's going to play us is, I think we're going to be better. I really do. We bring back a lot of football players. You know, is Caleb's exact game going to ever be matched? Probably, you know, that's just a ridiculous thing to think. But, boy, we got some – there's excitement getting to see some of these guys that have kind of waited their turn. And the challenge of going to win a back-to-back title is going to be a fun narrative to try to fulfill in its own way. So I'm pumped. I can't wait to get going again, to be honest.
Coach Matt Walker, national champions, UW River Falls, winning the national title this week over North Central. I appreciate all of your time and insight as always. It's so much fun to talk to you and cover your program. Thank you for your time, and we'll be talking again real soon.
Thank you, and appreciate all your support.
Oh, man, what a conversation there with Coach Matt Walker from UW River Falls. I've been covering games in this conference since 2003. So I started a long time ago, and I have been there for the start of Coach Walker's head coaching career at River Falls. I've done several River Falls Falcons games, including the two Isthmus Bowl games. I did a game a couple of years ago at Braemer Field. I did a game last year at UW-Platteville. I'm UW-Platteville's broadcast voice, for those who don't know. So I've seen a lot of Matt Walker's Falcons, especially over the last 5 years. And it's just amazing that, you know, this team, this program, much like what's happening right now with, like, Eau Claire and Stevens Point, just kind of stuck at the bottom of the conference. And sometimes it just feels like there's no way up. But Coach Walker stuck it out. And, you know, unlike other colleges that change head coaches after 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 or 5 years, if they have some leniency, River Falls stuck by Coach Walker. And boy, did it pay off in a huge way, because this program skipped all the steps, as he talked about, going from, you know, five, 6 years ago, pre-COVID, being an afterthought in the WIAC, to all of a sudden they're winning the Isthmus Bowl twice, and then they're winning the conference this year, and then all of a sudden they can't lose in the playoffs and take home the national championship. What an incredible story of any level of college football to come out of nowhere and end up in the national championship. It kind of makes you think, you know, what's Indiana going to do in the national championship against Miami? Because if Indiana can cap that off, I feel like that's almost a parallel in a way, because Indiana was another one of those programs that just hasn't done anything in a long time. And all of a sudden, they're in the national championship game after getting a big win over Oregon last night. So I look at sports as kind of a storytelling thing. I look at, every broadcast as a way, how can I tell the story of this game? How can I do it and do the right service for it, right? How can I be a good play-by-play broadcaster? Questions you ask yourself. And sometimes the story just writes itself, and seeing River Falls win the national championship is just incredible. I know I said I'm UW Platteville's broadcaster. I've been Stout's broadcaster. I've been Eau Claire's. I've even been Whitewater's, even for some odd games. I've filled in on other networks. But I got to tell you, man, City of River Falls, UW River Falls, has always done a really good job of marketing themselves, promoting themselves, doing things the right way. And anytime I've ever been there or they've ever come to the venues I've been in, they've done nothing but exceptional work in working with me. And that, of course, extends to Coach Matt Walker, one of the classiest and most down-to-earth and awesome people you'll ever meet. Going to talk some college football of a different variety coming up here on Make the Call.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call on Civic Media's sports network, talking college sports of the Wisconsin Badgers variety with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. This is a very loaded question because it's the start of the year, and I open up my social media feed, last night before I'm doom scrolling before bed. I'm looking at it right now here on a Saturday morning, and it just seems like every other post is about somebody declaring that they're in the portal, they're out of the portal, they got a visit, they don't have a visit. This is madness, man. I don't know how you keep track of it, but it just seems like transfer portal, all this in college sports, is just completely opened up a lot of these consequences that I think people had warned us about. But I see like a program like Iowa State having fewer than two dozen players on its roster. And I just wonder, I mean, have we gone a little too far down the road with all this stuff with the transfer portal? This is insane.
It's nuts, man. Even with like, for those kind of going behind the curtain, on Badger Observer, one of my most read articles is just a portal tracker for college volleyball, for like the Wisconsin volleyball program. Because I mean, within 24 or 48 hours, there are five or six, players in the transfer portal from Wisconsin. And so for the volleyball program, for Kelly Sheffield, and he's had to reload. And so really it's the evolution of the sport, evolution of college athletics in general. And going back to football, for those that don't know, January 2nd was the first, day officially of the transfer portal, where it's open for 15 days through the 16th of January. This is a fact for Wisconsin where it's a big reloading year, and we've already seen, it looks like nearly 20 players have either through various report. You talk about Twitter, and social media and Instagram, whatever social media posts. It looked like at least 18 players, maybe around there, nearing 20 that may be in the portal, depending upon what your source is. I have reached out to Wisconsin to ask for official confirmation that all these players are in the portal. And so it's tough to track because it's hard because you see with how the football, the Division I schedule is laid out, December, this portal officially opens up in January, but in December you're seeing all these kids announce their intentions to head to the transfer portal. And so it looks really bad, like, oh, these guys are leaving. But the transfer portal has become the place where you reload or you can rebuild quickly. And so Wisconsin, coming off a 4-8 year, it's tough to see, and even, yesterday on Friday, I'm trying to reach out to, I'm not trying to write up anything because it's just, these things are so fluid, these situations about who, okay, well, they set up these visits. Well, I can tell you one player, that there's a report out that they're going to take a visit. you know, I hear that now that like he's no longer taking it, that he pulled the visit. So, you know, like, so it's such a, it's a tough task, and it's also, you know, it can consume you when it comes to being a reporter in this time, this day and age. But you know, there are names to follow. There will be names to like watch, and there'll be, I think the biggest thing is watching for positions for Wisconsin. Maybe we want to talk about broadly that way. Quarterback's going to be something that's going to be talked about. Colton Joseph, the Old Dominion quarterback, is a dual threat quarterback, you know, about him. But you're also looking at wide receivers when it comes to guys that are, yeah, you know, right now they only have five scholarship wide receivers that I see on a projected scholarship distribution list that I keep right now. And that includes Cash Brock, who is another 2026 wide receiver as being part of this class. So like that offensive line, I think is going to be a need. Defensive line, I think you can always add more big guys and outside linebackers. You saw the success with Mason Reiger and Darryl Peterson. You know, who's going to replace them either within the roster or can they go outside? There, you know, those are just some of the major things that I'm trying to watch, but also have a life and try to report on other things too. So it is an all-encompassing time for anyone that covers this sport, and you hope there is some change. And I'm on the, you know, and we can, Jimmy, we could probably do an entire podcast or entire show.
We could do the whole show on this topic. I agree with you. We could do a whole show on it. I think my favorite story of all this, though, was the Oklahoma State guy who is taking an official visit to Oklahoma State, where he just started all games this year, which is just incredible. Jake, we're out of time in the segment, but I appreciate having you on board to talk things, all things Badgers. We definitely have a lot to talk about here in 2026. And as always, you'll have a lot to write about with Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Jake, thanks for your time.
Thank you, man. You take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Again, Jake Kokorowski, BadgerObserver.com. Sign up for his work, by the way. Sign up, get the paid delivery of his articles to you if you're at all interested in the Badgers and getting the inside word, hearing right from the student athletes themselves. Jake does this as a passion project. He's no longer a writer for a newspaper or for a major website. He's doing this all on his own, and he's still doing an amazing job of it. It is so much fun to have Jake on to talk about the Badgers, talk about everything happening with NIL and recruiting and transfer portal, and also just give us game analysis as well. There's a lot happening with UW, and if you're a Badgers fan, Jake is the man. So make sure you get to BadgerObserver.com. Sign up, pay for the subscription. I promise you it's worth it. I'm one of his paid subscribers, and it is really cool to see all the great content he puts together. If you really want truly unique, in-depth, professionally written content, this is a source you don't want to miss. So BadgerObserver.com. Well, today is the start of a new year for, you know, sports folks. I mean, we've already had, you know, a week and a half of stuff happen already. We have the national championship set in college football in Division I. We had Division III's won by a Wisconsin team this week. But I think a lot of attention is being paid tonight to the Packers-Bears game, which you can listen to on a bunch of Civic Media radio stations for free if you don't have Prime. But if you want to watch the game, you have to find somebody with Amazon Prime and then get them to let them get you access to it. Packers-Bears playoffs tonight, again on Prime. I think this is going to affect the moods of a lot of people going into the new year, especially a lot of our sports fans. So stay tuned for that. We'll have full coverage, win or lose, with Mike Clemens during the week on our Civic Media stations across the state, across Wisconsin, across Minnesota, across Michigan. We will have all of that for you coming up after the game. So that's it. That's the show this week. Make the call. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Big thanks to Conrad Krieger, to Greg Gunderson, to Parker Olson, also to Jake Kokorowski, and of course, UW River Falls coach Matt Walker, and our very own Mike Clemens. We'll be back next week, 7 a.m., right here across the Civic Media Sports Network. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend, everybody. It's Make the Call on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.